no place for them in the end. That is a very familiar passage right there. Everybody knows it. You guys probably quoted that. And you know what I'm going to say next. There was no room for the baby in the end. Are you making room this morning for Jesus? Are you giving them some room? Amen. Don't leave baby Jesus out in the cold this Christmas. Right? No, seriously, if you're a Christian, man, you know what? If you love Jesus, if you're in the family, you can give him more of your time. I promise you can. We can work it out. Amen?
Yeah.
We can give him more time. And I've been convicted about that because I'm very regimented. Very regimented type of guy with my worship time, my devotional time and stuff like that. I want to make sure I get it every day. But I noticed something, and I'm kind of ashamed of it. But I've been just doing it for like a check mark almost. Like, whoop, read me a couple chapters. Now let's go make some cookies or whatever. Not that I make cookies a lot. I don't know if I've ever made cookies. But you know what I'm saying, man? Don't let it be a check mark. Don't let it be something you feel like you have to do. Now, I'll be honest with you. It is a bit of a sacrifice at first. You have to make yourself get into the Word. You know what I mean? Because there's a million and one other things you can be doing. You know, but you can do this. We do what's important to us. Amen? We do what's important to us. We'll find time to do whatever we want to do. We'll make sure that works out. So we should make sure that we have time to spend with the Most High God each and every day. Amen?
Amen.
And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, something that's so amazing about the Nativity story and the Nativity story of the birth of Jesus, there's just so much exciting and interesting and crazy things going on, right? But this little tidbit right here, Jesus was born in a manger. Now, that's pretty interesting, wouldn't you say? Why was Jesus born in a manger? Well, there's a couple reasons that I know of, and I'm sure you have some good ideas too of why Jesus was born in a manger. But this is really, really, really super interesting and cool. You guys know what they were doing back in those days, right? With the lambs. You know what was going on, right? Okay. Jerusalem was right up the road from Bethlehem. Jerusalem was where the temple was. And at the temple, they would sacrifice lambs. Do you know why they would sacrifice lambs? They would sacrifice these lambs as an atonement or a washing away of their sins. Y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
You had to take a perfect lamb. Couldn't have any showing blemishes or anything like that. And then you would take that lamb and it would be sacrificed for your sins. So everybody, where did they keep those lambs that they sacrificed in Jerusalem at the temple? You know this already. They kept them in and around Bethlehem. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
It is really, really, really cool. Right up the road from the temple in Bethlehem is where they had the lambs that they would take and sacrifice for their sins. So Jesus was born in a manger, put in a feeding trough around these lambs. All those people want. That is really awesome, man. Okay, I'm going to read a verse after I enjoy some of this. John 1 and verse 29. Now listen up, beloved. The next day, this is John the Baptist when he sees Jesus Christ. This is so cool. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Isn't that awesome? John saw Jesus and he's like, "That is the Lamb. That is the one true Lamb. That is the Lamb that takes away the sin of all humanity." So it's interesting that around in Bethlehem is where they kept these sacrificial lambs to atone for their sins. And here we have Jesus, who was the Lamb, slain before the foundations of the earth. Amen. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Right there. It's just amazing. Now, I don't know, man, I just think that's really cool. Jesus does really cool stuff sometimes in the Bible that, I mean, to have that knowledge, that's not going to save your soul. You know, But to read that and connect the dots on the sacrificial, that's just one of those things like, man, God is so cool. And it's just an awesome little thing right there.
Yeah.
So that's why the Son of God was born in a manger. Right there in Bethlehem. Amen?
Yeah.
Also, something really, really cool about the fact that our Messiah, our Savior, was born in a manger in Bethlehem is that it shows all of us, man, you know what? That our God, He doesn't look down on you. You know what I mean? He doesn't look down on you. He loves you. Amen? We are His creation, and He loves us so much. Okay, let me say it like this. Our God is showing us how accessible He is. You see what I'm saying? He's right there for us. Amen? He wasn't born in a palace, and He could have been. I mean, there's angels all over the nativity story, right?
Yeah.
There could have been an angel that appeared and been like, hey, Herod, get out of the palace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or clear a room in the temple. Or how, at least this, innkeeper, I'm an angel. You need to clear out room 102 right now. Yeah. He could have done that. But no, our Messiah was born in a manger, in a feeding place for animals. See the access we have to our Lord and Savior? It doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are. He came for all people. Amen? There's no castle, no palace, no guards, no bars, no gates keeping us from becoming in this family, to enter this family with the Most High God. He's here for all of us. So give Him some praise. I don't know. I just thought that was really, really cool. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds. Who likes the shepherds? I think the shepherds are super, super cool, man. I dig them. I love them. Hard-working guys, man. Blue collar. I dig the shepherds, man. And the shepherds that go to this church, I like them too. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. See? Shepherds, sheepies, lambs out in the field. Bethlehem, that's those sacrificial lambs, man. Oh, that's B1. It's really, really cool. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord. See, the angel's all over this story, man. Joseph had an angel talk to him in a dream. Mary had an angel. Zachariah. Everybody's having angels. Man, God did not have to have His son born in a manger unless He wanted it to happen that way. He could have sent an angel and be like, hey, clean out Bethlehem. The king's coming. He didn't do that. All right. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Who likes good news?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. My God's people said, I love it.
I love it.
I love it. John, love it. I love it. I love it when I walk in the door and Rachel's got good news and she's not grumpy. I love that. But you know what's better than just good news? I mean, good news is like, well, the light bill's not as bad as we thought. Well, that's good news. But this is the angel talking to these shepherds who have this dead-end job. You know, they're over the graveyard shift, man, watching sheep. Pretty boring, you know what I mean? Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. If I have kids, this is what they're going to do, and so on and so forth. You know, this angel appears, this mighty, awesome laser light ship. Here's the angel, and he says, don't be scared. I got good news. But it's more than good news. This is the point I try and make like every Sunday when I say this is the best news you're going to hear all week or all day or whatever. This is so amazing, man, that because we are so flawed and we've made so many mistakes, we've broken God's law more times than we can ever count. You know what I mean? But we can be saved.
Yes.
We can be saved. Here it is. Here's the big, big thing right here. This book, the Bible, it's alive, it's living, and if you want to sum it up, It is about the fact that we are loved. Man, we are loved by the Creator of the universe. And He knows that we're not perfect. Amen? So here's this angel. He appears. Hold on a second. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." That's what I'm talking about this morning, man. We have the good news, the gospel, and it should bring great joy. This isn't just good news. This isn't just like, ooh, I got to park close to the mall at Christmas time. That's okay. That's good. But this is like, man, I don't have to go to hell. And that's what I deserve. You know what I mean? That is amazing, man. So Christians, we should be stoked up. We should be fired up. Man, about that point right there, man. I'm a saved person. I will never, ever know what hell feels like. So give them some praise. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to think about that. Because tomorrow's not promised to anybody. It's sure not. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. But right now, we do have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Please do not put it off another day. Amen? And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Wonderful for all people, man. Not just for the fancy folks, not just for the college educated, not just for the people that work in the big fancy towers making all kinds of money, but for everybody, man. Doesn't matter where you come from, what side of the tracks, what color you are. None of that stuff matters, man. The good book says there ain't no Jew, no Greek, no slave, no free, no male, no female. He came for us all, man. That's rocking. That's good news.
Yeah.
Because, you know, never mind. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do a stupid joke right now. I'm sure I'll do one before we're done.
Not like your jokes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That makes me because when I listen to my sermons, and I do, yeah, I always, without a doubt, every week I'm like, man, I should not have, why did I even say that? There's no reason for me to say that. And I can still to this day picture my daddy sitting right there and just, yeah, a little bit. He was very, very proud of me. Anyways, let's get back to this. But anyway, I'm working on it. Y'all pray for me. Sister Claudia said, "Amen." Not yet. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." That's wonderful, man. In the city of David, which is Bethlehem, awesome, right? Which is where they keep the sacrificial lambs for the temple in Jerusalem. So, to the shepherds, not the ones that go here, but the shepherds in the field, if the angel and the laser light show and the announcement wasn't enough, well, just maybe, they knew about the scripture, they knew about the prophecy in Micah. You know what I mean? And somebody said, "Well, what is this scripture? What is this prophecy in Micah?"
Wasn't that their prophecy?
Okay, thank you. Micah 5 and verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah." I always have trouble saying that. But Ephrathah, it's like Milton. Some people might call Milton Beantown or... Scratch Ankle or Milltown or something like that. That's an old term, old word for Bethlehem. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah." This verse right here really gets me psyched up, man. Because we're just a small little church. You know what I mean? But God has some big plans for this church. And don't doubt that for a second. Don't doubt, even though it's been a hard road and a long road, God's not done with this church. This church has not seen its finest hour. This church has still got a lot to do. Amen? Amen. No one thought anything about Bethlehem, and there's this little prophecy way back in Micah But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me. Listen to what I just said. Out of Bethlehem will come for me. This is God. This is God saying that for me, not just for humanity, but for me, God, the creator of the universe. This is something that I'm very committed to, something I'm very concerned about, something that I'm going to make happen, and it's not just for you, it's for me. You see how devoted God is to your salvation? How much he loves you? That before the foundations of the earth, God knew that his creation was going to fall. He knew that was going to happen. And even at that moment, he said, hey, I'm going to make a way. I will make a way where they can be saved because I love them so much. Amen? All right. I'm going to back that up by scripture because I know y'all are like scripture folks. Revelation 13, verse 8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. That's Revelation stuff. All whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Before anything was done to this planet, before this planet ever existed, God and his Son already decided that Jesus Christ would lay down his life so we could live forever. Amen?
Amen.
All God's people say, that's good news.
That's good news.
Best news, good news and great joy? Something. All right. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Little prophecy tucked away in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem. Verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. This is the angel talking to the shepherds. And this will be, you know, that is kind of interesting, isn't it? And this will be a sign for you. It's like, man, here's an angel all of a sudden out here. And undoubtedly, they're like, wow, man, this is awesome. Imagine how dark it would be out there.
Yeah.
In between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, out in the field with the shepherds and the sheepies and the lambs. And it would be so dark. And then all of a sudden, this angel, there's a... And you're like, wow, this is awesome. And he's like, well, I got a sign for you. Like, that's not good enough, right? An angel. Okay, anyway. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. What? And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying. So this angel gives this good news to these shepherds. These guys with, this was literally like the lowest job that you could have. You know, these guys, no one really thought much about them. They just did the thing. You know, but God chose these guys to give this wonderful, awesome news about the Messiah. You know, he could have done anything he wanted to do. He could have all kinds of fanfare. He could have made this big, amazing spectacle. But he just told these few shepherds out in the field and gave them this wonderful thing to see. And as soon as the news is delivered to these guys, there's wall-to-wall angels up in the sky singing. Isn't that amazing? Pretty cool, man. So does God care about little old you?
Yeah.
Sure does. How God's people say, sure does. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And that's wonderful. Because with the Messiah, if we repent of our sins, if we turn from our sins, and by faith accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can have peace, man. Real, real peace. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
You know what I mean? You know, we live in a crazy world. We never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Our world could be turned upside down in an instant. You know, and we got all these things going on. The newspaper can freak you out. And there's just a million and one reasons why you can be depressed. But you know, here's the beautiful thing. One of the beautiful things about accepting Jesus Christ. Not only am I saved, not only is it something that's going to be awesome one day around the corner, and it's going to be awesome, amen, Brother Dave, it's going to be awesome, you know what I'm saying? But we can have peace now. We can get peace in our heart, not just about the future, but just knowing that my God's going to take care of me. Romans 8:28 stuff, and it's going to work out some way, somehow, my God's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, who's he pleased with? Man, we got to get in the family. If you're not in the family, you got to get in the family today. You see what I'm saying? You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because we have this blessing. Man. We have that salvation. We have that provision. We have that peace. And it's waiting there for you. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 1 and verse 21. She will bear a son. I love this verse. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. I've read this verse. This is the third week in a row I've read this verse, if you're counting. And this is where the angel is talking to Joseph in a dream. And this verse is just so powerful, guys, because Jesus came for us to have peace. He came to save our souls. He didn't come to kick the Romans out. He's going to set up an earthly kingdom, and that's going to be awesome and great. But see, he came to earth this first time for something way bigger than kicking out the Romans or kicking out King Herod or something like that. It's way bigger than all of that, man. Where you can have peace in a foxhole. You can have peace in a jail cell. You can have peace when everybody's abandoned you because you know your God will never abandon you. You can have peace when you're sitting in a life of a bunch of bad, stupid, selfish decisions. You can have peace when you repent of that. Because you know me, my God is good, and he loves me, and I have access to him because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Amen?
Amen.
She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. That is the good news, man. We should be psyched up about that. We should go dance around in the street and try and cause a traffic jam. Because, come on, brother. No, no, we shouldn't do that. That's a bad idea. But we really should be psyched up, man. We should be, like, so stoked up and fired up about that, man. You know, I didn't get the bonus. I'm not going to be able to put the swimming pool in. Or I don't know if my contract didn't get picked up for next season. Man, you're saved, man. You're blessed.
Yeah.
God's going to take care of you.
Amen.
She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the big thing right there. Because we've all blown it. We need that Savior. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, thank the good Lord for that mercy. Amen?
Amen.
But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. How much did he love us? Even when we were dead in our trespasses, there it is, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It's a wonderful verse, y'all. We don't deserve it. It's not just about the little baby being born in the manger. That's a beautiful, beautiful, awesome thing. But that baby died on a cross when he was 33 years old. There's some stuff in between that. But you see what I'm saying, right? God made flesh, dwelt among men. Emmanuel, God is with us. He knows what it feels like to be tempted. He just never gave into that temptation. He knows what it feels like to be rejected and betrayed. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he loves you so much. He says, come to me this morning, and I will give you peace, and I will help you through this. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to do one more verse. Luke 1 and verse 50. This is Mary's song of praise. You ever, whoever, do you guys like read the nativity story like in Matthew and Luke every Christmas? Do y'all ever do that? I think it's very interesting that Mary bursts into song. It's kind of like a musical because Zechariah is singing. Everybody's singing, man. And Mary, she's so excited that she bursts into song. Well, that just doesn't sound real. It could totally happen. It totally happened, man. When the Holy Spirit falls on you,
yeah.
I've been to some awesome church services, man, where the Holy Spirit will fall on people, And they will prophesy and song and stuff. I was like, wow, that's cool. I want to do that, can't you?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be good if I don't sing good. But I could totally see Mary doing this, man, when the Holy Spirit just drops on her and she just begins to give the Lord praise. We need to give the Lord some praise, guys.
Yeah.
We need to give Him some praise because we are blessed, amen?
Yeah.
So Luke 1 and verse 50, and His mercy, talking about Jesus, and talking about the Most High God, and His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. I think a lot of Christians, we lose track of that reverence, that fear of the Lord. You know what I mean? The fear of those consequences of, what if I do something stupid and selfish? I have to pay for those consequences. I'm not talking about eternal damnation. I'm talking to Christian folks right now that go and do something stupid and we have those consequences and God warns us over and over again. You're going to reap what you sow. Don't do that. Christian folks, we lose that fear. Raise your hands. Yeah, we lose it all the time. And see, how can we get mad at the world or the unbeliever or the unsaved for not respecting something that we want to skirt around all the time? You know what I mean? When they don't even serve the same master. You know, they're serving their master, and we're serving ours. And we're all bent out of shape because a guy in line at the Waffle House said GD or something like that. Man, that's not cool. That's not cool, but he's serving his master, man. We got to serve ours. We got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Christians, we need to get back to that place. That is the basic, that is the ground level, man. Right there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning.
That's right.
We're losing that all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unbeliever, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's talk about the future just really, really fast. If you don't accept Jesus, it ain't looking good. It's not looking good at all. Because there's only one name given under heaven for us to be saved, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You've got to accept Him, and why don't you just do it today? Why don't you do it in 90 seconds? Just get ready to come up here. We're all going to be stoked. We're going to be happy if you accept Jesus. I don't know who's saved and who's not. I couldn't tell you. I'm just saying, man, don't put it off another day, and don't worry what anybody else thinks about you. I know God's going to be happy. I know angels are going to be rejoicing, and I know you'll never regret it. Because your future is not looking good if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you do accept Him, you have that eternal life, and you have that peace, and you have that provision. You have everything. Amen?
Amen.
And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just come on up here right now. We'd love to pray with you. Nobody's too young. No one's too old. Holy Spirit, just lead them. Guide them up here, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not about being perfect. It's about accepting what someone else has already done for you. It's about accepting Jesus Christ. It's about realizing I am a sinner. I've made mistakes. I can't get to heaven on my own. And I know You are the Son of God. I know You died for my sins and rose from the dead. Okay. Brother Josh, I'm feeling a little awkward. Can you just grab someone and pull them up here? I'm playing. Listen, I love you all. I'm thankful for you all. Please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, do it today.
Yes.
Don't put it off. I've done a lot of funerals. I've done a lot of funerals. I've been to a lot of funerals. you just never know. You never know the last time you're going to see somebody. So if you know somebody that's not saved, man, talk to them. Share the love of Jesus with them. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you, Lord. We ask that your will be done in all our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that if there's somebody in here that has not accepted you, that they will do so today, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your love and your grace and your mercy and your provision. You are so good to us, Lord, and we do not deserve it, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for all the wonderful, wonderful things you have given us, Lord. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings and promises you have made to us. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So,